Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Marjorie Williams, travel and food blogger at marjorierwilliams.com and author of the books Markets of Paris and of the upcoming book Markets of Provence. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kara. My pleasure to be here.
Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor. If you're like me and you put hot sauce on everything, it's time to check out Fuego Box, a hot sauce club that delivers boxes of small batch and gourmet hot sauces right to your doorstep. They focus on flavor over heat and always avoid gimmicky selections. Think of it as a hot sauce club for people who love food. To purchase, go to fuegobox.co and use code CLEVER for $10 off your first box. That's fuegobox.co, promo code CLEVER, for $10 off the best hot sauces you've probably never heard of. First of all, I want to say that your book is the perfect size to travel with. It's actually pocket or purse size, which is great. What were some of the most exciting places in the book to write about as you researched it?
Well, one of the exciting places, I'd have to say, is a little village called Couqueron in Provence. And one of the reasons that I liked it so much is because I'd never heard of it before. It's one of those villages that's off the beaten path, and not a lot of tourists go there, but it's got this beautiful, beautiful market and a gorgeous setting. And in my book, the new book, Markets of Provence, I've actually narrowed down, there are many, many markets in Provence, but I narrowed them down to the ones that I consider the best. And best, by best, I mean either a market with very high quality offerings or wide range of selection, or where the setting is really pretty. And Couqueron aces all of those conditions. It's just a beautiful setting. It's around a basin, a reflecting pool of water, actually. And there are these large sycamore trees all around the perimeter of it, and these leafy branches that reflect off of the water. And then the market vendors set up their stalls all around that. So it's just a very beautiful setting. It's easy to navigate. You can see the whole market while you're there. And wonderful quality items, the cheeses and the saucisson, things like that. And the village, after seeing a market, the village is just a wonderful little village to walk around. It's a medieval village. It's twisty streets. When I went to Couqueron, my husband accompanied me on that particular market visit, and he is into history and architecture, and he came across a church with this giant poplar tree up front of it, and he couldn't make sense of what that was. And it turns out that it is a village tradition where they cut down the largest poplar tree they can find and then do a processional around the village with it to commemorate all of the villagers who died during the plague. So it's just fun to go to these little markets, and you never quite know what chance discovery you might happen upon. And I'd contrast that with a place such as Saint-Rémy, which is a much better known market, and a lot of people go there. A lot of people are drawn there because that's where Van Gogh was, in the sanatorium where he painted a lot of his most well-known works. And that market is very different from Couqueron's market. It's large, it's rambling, meanders through the town, the streets. But again, it's sort of a surprise of around every corner there might be some live music, there might be street performers, there might be, you know, a fantastic local goat farmer who's there. So the markets are really different. Each one has its own personality, which is really takes on the shape, sometimes quite literally, of the city or the village where it's being hosted.
How did you first become interested in these markets and the stories behind them?
Well, I had done the book Markets of Paris, and there seemed to be considerable interest. I was really so happy to see the interest people have in markets and in food and experiencing some of the local culture when they travel. So I felt that I loved the French markets, but what I knew best were the city markets, especially in Paris. And I thought, well, it would be really interesting. I was intrigued to see, well, what are the country markets like? Are they very different? And my co-author on the Paris book, Dixon Long, many years ago had written about the markets of Provence, and he strongly encouraged me to go to Provence and to consider that as the subject for my next book. And man, was he right. I mean, it was just great. I went and I fell in love with the markets there.
You talk about so many fascinating vendors, farmers, chefs, and other food professionals in this book. What were some of the most interesting stories that you heard?
Let's see. There was a farmer I interviewed, farmer of using that a little bit loosely, but he's a seed saver. He's into the biodiversity of seeds. And I visited him and interviewed him. When he first started, he got a lot of flack from people, from the government, in fact, who was opposed to what he was doing. He got flack from corporate interests, obviously, but he even got flack from other local farmers in the area who couldn't understand what he was doing. But then he started to work with some of the better-known chefs in Provence who did understand what he was doing and appreciated it, that he could produce these, you know, heirloom tomatoes and carrots that would be really wonderful items to add to the menus. And so he got the support of local chefs, and he gained some traction that way. And over time, he's gone from being sort of marginalized to being somewhat of a celebrity. And his farm, if you can call it that, is a real destination spot for young people who are interested in learning about farming and sustainability. He's been written up in the New York Times as a maverick farmer doing some really important things there. But it was interesting to me to hear about this transition, how things have changed over time for him, and how it was really this grassroots, if you will, movement to support him. And it's now very well established. He's very well established there. Another story that comes to mind is a mushroom farmer I met. And he just had this idea that he wanted to grow mushrooms, and he was casting about for a place to do it. And he came across an old railroad tunnel. And he discovered that, in fact, railroad tunnels are perfect environments for growing mushrooms because very consistent humidity, consistent light and temperature conditions. So he started growing mushrooms there. This is just his own personal hobby. And that really took off. And now his wife sells them at the markets. He's considered one of the most sought-after vendors. Their mushrooms are everybody talks about buying mushrooms at the market. And they're his mushrooms that he started growing in this abandoned railway tunnel. And when I visited him, it's an interesting example of how so many of the enterprises in Provence are usually husband and wife enterprises, and they handle the whole thing. And so he does the mushroom growing, and he's a real introvert. He loves being inside the tunnel and hanging out with his mushrooms, while his wife loves socializing, and so she's the one who goes to the markets and sells them. She's the public face to the mushrooms at the market, so it works out well.
How does global cuisine influence the food found in French markets?
I'd have to say not much. There are a couple things come to mind. There are some prepared food vendors. There might be, you know, Asian vendors selling Chinese food or Vietnamese food. There's always the ubiquitous pizza truck at a Provençal market. But by and large, it's the local producers selling what they're growing locally, and I think that's the appeal of the markets, in fact, is that there's not a lot of global influence. It's still very, very true to that local area.
What has been your favorite food discovery in one of these markets as you've been researching the book?
That's easy. Goat cheese. Goat cheese is a real specialty of Provence, and before I started spending a lot of time there, I actually didn't like goat cheese that much. I thought goat cheese was bland. But then I started to taste the ones in the markets and fell in love with them and began to understand. In fact, in Provence, it's the actual goat farmers who bring their cheeses to the markets, and they bring them at three different stages, the fresh goat cheese or the medium-aged goat cheese or the aged goat cheeses, and each one tastes very different. And a typical cheese plate in Provence is goat cheeses, but of those three varieties, because everybody there has their own personal favorite.
Is there a staple French food item that you always have in your pantry when you're cooking at home?
Yes, and I just ran out of it yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's olive oil, and Provençal olive oil, to be specific. There's a very good olive oil made in the region of Les Baux de Provence, and I am able to get some of that locally where I live, but it's from Provence, and I think I'm forever hooked on that.
What are some of your top tips for travelers on making the most of local cuisine, both in Provence and wherever they travel?
Well, you probably expect me to say this, but I genuinely believe it. Go to the markets. There's nothing that beats going to the... For people who are interested in food, the local markets are the best way to get a sense of what the local foods are and the local specialties, and get foods at their freshest and talk with people about what they do with those foods. So just go to the markets, and particularly go to the country markets, whether it's in France or other places. Country markets are very different from city markets. I think it's great to see a combination if you can. And I'd also say one of the things that I've learned as I've gone to more and more markets is the value of staying in a place when you travel where there's a kitchen. Because at many of the markets, you don't have to have a kitchen to be able to enjoy going to the markets. There are prepared foods, there are cheeses and breads that you don't have to have a kitchen for. But there's so many temptations that if you do enjoy cooking, you're going to want to be able to buy foods that you'll need some kitchen equipment to do something with. So I would recommend that for people who are going there, who going there for any length of time. And just one other tip springs to mind, and that is, particularly in Provence, try the local wines. There are a lot of famous and expensive Provençal wines, but you don't need to do those. You can just buy the local village wine wherever you go, and they're really pretty good.
Thank you so much for sharing these tips with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Look out for Marjorie's new book, Markets of Provence, coming out in May 2016, but also available for pre-order now. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.